Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Monday, 3rd of August 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So, Lee, US dollar selling has been relentless recently. Do you expect that to continue?
Well, certainly July was a very bad month for the dollar. We saw the dollar index record one of its largest monthly sell-offs since September 2010. And on that occasion, that was obviously during the recovery phase from the global financial crisis. Following that sell-off back in September 2010, we did see the dollar sell-off continue, although at a more moderate pace in October 2010 when it was down 1.8%. So that's still suggests potentially if we were to see that kind of pattern repeated, we could still see some further weakness for the dollar in the near term, even though selling has been obviously very heavy over the past month. But as we saw at the end of last week, the kind of latest dollar sell-off was very much kind of driven by some renewed concern over political uncertainty in the US. We saw the release of a tweet from President Trump in which he kind of raised the possibility of potentially postponing the November election, kind of trying to prompt fear that the greater use of postal ballots in the US could lead to widespread fraud. So I think those comments, as we've seen, have already kind of drawn heavy criticism from both sides of the political spectrum in the US, including Republican leaders in Congress. And while obviously legal experts as well have also highlighted that President Trump doesn't have the authority to change the date of the election. But nevertheless, we're still citing that as certainly a risk factor for the dollar going forward. To us, it is a concern that President Trump is already trying to call into question the legitimacy of the vote later this year. And that has the potential to lead to a particularly messy outcome after the US election if the results are close. And we think the prospect there of heightened US political uncertainty, That could already be starting to undermine the appeal of the US dollar right now. And one of our kind of key assumptions behind our bearish outlook for the dollar this year is built on the assumption that we believe that President Trump is likely to lose that election. And also on top of that as well, we think there's an increasing risk as well that the Democrats could gain control of both houses in Congress. And we think that kind of outcome would be modestly negative for the dollar going forward. Having said that, though, obviously in recent weeks, we've decided to actually cut back our short dollar exposure right now. I still think the fundamental story is negative for the dollar. Obviously, as we've been highlighting in recent weeks, we have seen a continued fall in US real yields and also this pickup in US political uncertainty. And that's obviously helped to weaken the dollar. But despite those kind of fundamental developments still being negative for the dollar, I think we also have to take into account just right now that the dollar has already weakened a very long way in a short period of time. And a lot of our kind of quantitative indicators are signaling quite strongly that the dollar has become heavily oversold. And to us, that increases the risk of a correction higher, at least temporarily, in the near term for the dollar. And one of our momentum indicators for Eurodollar is particularly extreme right now. It reached its highest kind of most bullish level since back in October 1978. So I think that extreme level of kind of bullish momentum to us kind of flags the risk of a reversal, at least in the short term for the dollar. So what potentially could kind of trigger a correction higher for the dollar? Obviously, one potentially would be if we were to see risk assets start to correct lower over the summer period. One kind of potential near-term trigger that could trigger a sell-off in risk assets would be if market participants start to become more concerned over the risk of the US failing to pass another fiscal stimulus package in the coming weeks. To us, that's obviously a critical factor, really, which is needed to help support financial markets right now. There's a kind of widespread belief and hope that a fiscal package will be passed in a timely manner. And that to us is critical because the enhanced unemployment benefits have just expired at the end of last month. And without further stimulus, that is likely to reinforce the loss of growth momentum we've seen in the US economy over the last couple of weeks or so.
And after recent strong gains, Lee, what do you think the hurdles are for the pound?
Well, I think the pound strength over the last month has been surprising. It has been one of the kind of best performing currencies. We've seen cable extend its rebound at the end of last week up to a high of 131.70, which was pretty much a kind of full reversal of the kind of sharp adjustment low we saw back in March when the COVID shock first hit financial markets. So it has been quite a turnaround for the pound since the low point in March when cable hit a low of 114.12 on the 20th of March. And certainly the performance in July was a standout for cable in particular, the best performance for cable on a monthly basis since May 2009. And at this stage, we would say it's probably more driven by the dollar leg rather than the kind of positive sterling story right now. Certainly, if you look at the move in cable, it's been a lot sharper to the upside than we've seen in terms of pound performance compared to elsewhere. If you look at, say, the performance of the pound against the euro, that has been less impressive, although we have noted since late last week it is attempting to break back below the 90 level. So in terms of kind of fundamental story, it's difficult to kind of pinpoint a particular kind of fundamental reason why the pound has been performing so strongly recently. It's certainly kind of ignoring some of the kind of more negative fundamental developments in the UK, as we've seen over the past week. The UK government has decided to delay some of its plans to further ease the lockdown measures in the UK, and also reimpose some restrictions as well on households in the north of England. But like I say, I think the impact so far on the pound has been fairly limited from those negative lockdown measures that have been announced over the past week. And I guess if you look at the weekend press as well, they are obviously suggesting that the government could be prepared also to put in place further local and regional measures to prevent the risk of a second wave of COVID-19 hitting the UK in the coming months. One of those potentially being kind of sealing off London to try and prevent the spread from widening out more broadly. But I think, like I say, the these are kind of downside risks, I think, for the pound going forward. But right now, the pound is still trading relatively resiliently. And I think the kind of main focus for us, and I think market participants in the week ahead, will be the Bank of England's upcoming policy meeting on Thursday. That is a potential fresh catalyst for pound performance going forward. And on that side of things, we kind of broadly agree with kind of market expectations. We're not expecting the Bank of England to change their this week. If you remember back, it was only at their last policy meeting that they decided to extend their quantitative easing program again by £100 billion. So it would be a big surprise if they were to increase that again so soon. So I think for kind of pound performance, the main focus really will be on any kind of future guidance from the Bank of England on the potential for further easing later this year. We still think that's a high probability that we will see the Bank of England ease policy again, possibly as soon as the November MPC meeting. And that could include either another expansion of the quantitative easing programme and or potentially lowering rates further towards the zero bound or even into negative territory. So that's to us still a very, very real possibility later this year. And I think the market's going to be obviously watching very closely to see if the Bank of England does signal a greater kind of openness to easing as we go forward later this week. And to us, that's key ultimately. If we were to see the Bank of England signal that they're kind of moving closer to putting in place negative rates, then that does have the potential to lead to quite a sharp pound sell-off, and we could quite quickly see the recent gains for the pound. Those could reverse very, very quickly. So I think that's a potential kind of hurdle for the pound in the week ahead. But in terms of general kind of outlook for the Bank of England, I think that they're likely to kind of signal, at least acknowledge, that the kind of recovery in the UK has been a bit stronger than kind of expected back in May. We could see some upward revision to the growth forecast for this year. But I think overall, the Bank of England, similar to the Fed and other major central banks, is still going to be very, very cautious over the outlook. And I think that's very kind of understandable, given all of the kind of risks are, to us, kind of more heavily skewed to the downside. Like I've mentioned earlier, there's still certainly building concern over the risk of a second wave and potential further kind of restrictions for the economy later this year, which would obviously kind of dampen and derail the recovery that's underway. And then secondly, as well, as we've heard from the government, they've already decided that their kind of job furlough scheme that's going to be allowed to expire now in the autumn period. So it's looking increasingly likely that will lead to a wave of job losses later this year. And we heard just last week a warning from the NIESR, who warned that the government decision to kind of prematurely end that furlough scheme could result in the unemployment rate jumping up to almost 10%. So there is the potential there as well that if we did see a big jump in unemployment, then that as well could create a kind of negative spiral, which further weakens the recovery later this year and heading into next year. So I think taking all those kind of negative risks into consideration, I think Bank of England is still going to be fairly cautious and, like I say, leave the door fairly open to the possibility of easing later this year.
Right. Well, thanks very much for all of that insight, Lee. Have a very good week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.